you know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like
Okay, well, we are definitely live. This is Legal Marie, and if you're tuned in, you're listening to Urban Conversation. We are really excited, and because I'm in theater, we always say the first show always has to work out the kinks, so we're working out some kinks on this end, but that is not going to stop us, and it's not just me tonight. I have two of my co-hosts that are going to tackle this topic with me tonight. I have Manuel Hill and James Manning. If you guys hear me, please say hello.
Well, hello there. Okay. Yeah. So this is James calling in from Chicago. So Chi-Time representing.
This is Manuel calling in from Atlanta.
Okay. I think we have you guys got some applause there. I love being surrounded by intelligent men, so this should be really, really fun. Okay, so briefly, if you're tuned in, make sure you also add us on Facebook. It's Urban Conversation Radio. Go there. That's our open forum page. You'll be able to discuss different topics that are posted, as well as sometimes you'll catch one of the hosts in there on the threads, as you know, as well. So, guys, tonight we're talking about a topic that seems to be touchy with a lot of people. We're talking about regaining trust after betrayal, and if it's even possible. So instead of us kind of starting on the shallow end of this topic, I want to jump right into the deep end. I want to talk about the one that most people have the biggest issue with, and that is infidelity. I'm going to throw this question at both of you, and then you guys can jump right in. Is it possible to even continue a relationship after you've been cheated on?
You can go first, Jane.
Okay. I'm going to start off first by saying it is possible, but it really is going to depend on the two individuals, because you have to first examine how you feel about the relationship, everything that led up to the infidelity, the type of relationships, the idiosyncrasies, the things that got out of sync with that relationship. You have to examine all of that, and so you have to have a person that's willing, one, to the person who cheated, has to be willing to kind of step forward and take account of that. And the person who was basically the victim in it has to get to a place where they're willing to forgive and then work on the reconciliation. So it is possible. You just have to have the mentality of wanting to make it work. That's where
Right. So that sounds sweet. It sounds very sweet to know, but you don't have to play the devil's advocate, right? So, okay, let's just say, you know, this person has not only done this to you once, but they've done it several times and didn't, you know, they weren't honest with you. They didn't come and tell you, oh, hey, I cheated, babe. You know, you found out in the old spying way, or however you found out. I mean, is it, you know, are they just asking for forgiveness because they got found out? I mean, there's different, you know, there's different variables to that.
Yeah, everything depends on the situation. I think, let's say, if it's a serial cheater, I dated a serial cheater one time, and it was actually her sister's. Sorry, my little dogs. It was her sister. her sister's boyfriend is the one who told me, and we were just hanging out, and he was like, "Hey, I don't think your girl is being right with you. You need to back off a little bit." And he didn't go into any type of grimy details and everything like that, but you know, I know what that meant. And when he said she's not being right, it was like, hey, she's being foul. So right away, I just basically, I backed away from it. I didn't even attempt, because if you're like that, then there's no point. But so it depends on the circumstances. If I find out that, okay, you know what, you went with Tom, you did Dick, you did Harry, Larry, Moe, Curly, Shrimp, all of them, I'm out. Okay?
Oh.
I'm going to, and, you know, Bones is done, we're done. But if it's, man, we've been doing this for 15 years, things weren't right, you know, a few years, and something happened, I'm going to find out to say, hey, you know, can we work, especially if I want to stay. If I don't want to stay, then it's like, you know, that gives me my out.
Right. So let me cut in. So, and James, hold on, I'm going to direct a question to you because I want you to chime in. So basically, you know, it seems like a lot of, you know, the consensus is if you actually put in a lot of time and energy into the relationship, if it's been a solid relationship, like you said, for 15, which a lot of people are making it to 15 years right now. So let's just say if you've been with them for a few years and you've had a solid relationship, that seems like that plays a bigger part as well as people making the decision if they want to, you know, continue on. And here's the question that I have, because I really want this answered in detail, and you guys are men, and we know women cheat as well, but the saying, once a cheater, always a cheater, how valid is that? James.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's... I think... If a person, I mean, you know, if you're a hoe, you're a hoe. I mean, it's, let's just go there. Hoe, you're a hoe. But
oh no.
Let's say if you're the type of person to say, okay, things got a little rocky, so I cheated. That can be a problem, because it's like, you know, we got the rest of our lives, and things are going to get rocky, and so that means every time we have a stint and get rocky, you step out. You know, that's where the problem is. It's like, what caused the cheating? If it's, man, things got a little tough for us, you know, I wasn't sure where we were going, it's like, well, you know what, relationships ebb and flow. That means the next time this happened 2-3 years from now, I got it in the back of my mind now, like, we're going through some hard times. What is she doing? And that may cause a bad situation to get worse, because now not only are we going through this regular hard times that relationships go through, now I have that insecurity in me that, you know what, we're going through the same thing we went through 3 or 4 years ago, and this is what she did. Is she a tiger and she's not going to change her stripes, or was that a one-time deal? And my insecurity on that may cause even more, because what happens if she's not? And then I'm bringing that element into it. She gets offended, and all of a sudden, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And next thing you know, it's a mess. So, tough situation. I mean, cheating is a tough situation. It kind of takes things to the core of your relationship, you know.
So, should they change the saying from, once a cheater, always a cheater, to once a hoe, always a hoe.
Hoes are hoes. I mean, hey, you can't change a hoe. I mean, hoes are hoes, okay? The difference between cheating and a hoe, okay? If
wait,
I'm a
wait,
cheater.
Wait a minute. So there's a difference from being a hoe and versus being a cheater. Please break that down, James, because I know people really.
So cheating. All right, let's take it like this. Let's be scientific about this. Cheating is, hey, you know what? I wasn't trying to go out there and do this. It happened. You know, I was work relationship, old past relationship that came in right at the time I was most vulnerable and everything like that. It slipped, and I felt so guilty, and I came home, I took a shower and just cleansed myself and went to church and everything else. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, right? That's a cheat.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How is I'm getting up, I'm throwing my get the draw panties on, I'm throwing my fuck heels on, and I'm going out, and guess what? Not only am I going to do a stranger, but I'm going to do your brother.
Oh,
see, that's
my.
Cool. And it's like every Saturday night, you're calling up, hey, I'm going out with the girls, and you out there, you know, getting screwed. Hey, I'm going up, my mama is sick, she wants me to come over and make some oxtail soup or something for her, but you over Billie House getting boned up. That's a hoe. All right.
Okay, but let's be clear. Hoes don't only come in the female package. There are men hoes as well. We can all agree on that, correct?
Yeah. I mean, well, that's natural. I mean, we go through a whole phase. It's part of our development process. We start off as hoes. It's kind of like you know, how you get a butterfly that's a cactus, mm-hmm. that was a caterpillar. That's how men are. We hoes, and then we go through this metamorphosis where we become gentlemen. We become, you know, what we are.
Lord. Wait a minute.
No fooling. Like this. Go out there, 19, Manuel, back me up here, because Manuel, you see pictures of Manuel, right? There's some wholeness in him. We've all seen the pictures of Manuel sitting on the balcony, studly looking, everything suited up. There's some wholeness in there. It may not come out all the time, but...
Hold on. Let me, just for the ladies that are listening, and they are listening, I'm getting messages from people on Facebook. Now, okay, if we go by the looks, I've seen pictures of both of you guys. So you both look like you got a little player in you.
I would say this. It's a combination of everything, like James said. We go through phases where... that's the way we want to be. You know, we're not going to settle down. We're not, you know, we're just going to be out there like that. And if that carries into a relationship, if you still ain't got that out of your system, you still haven't got that out of your system, you go into a relationship, you're a lot more susceptible to fall for those trappings, you know. But, and that's where you have that combination of a person that's a cheater and a hoe at the same time. But like James is saying, if you're a person that you end up cheating behind circumstance, number one, there's never an excuse. Nothing ever justifies it, but you're in a relationship, there's lack of communication, he or she didn't fulfill certain desires, you know, and it gets to a point where one of you steps out. I think the forgiveness part and the part where you can rebuild from it is if both of you can sit back, be objective about it, and say, you know what, I took some things for granted, I fell off, you know what I'm saying, and this is what it led up to. The one thing I believe that the most difficult thing, I mean, really don't trust in and of itself is tumultuous, to say the least, you know. So in that case, the two people, the betrayed and the betrayer, have some stuff to deal with. You got to reestablish those lines of communication. Then the person who broke the trust, what are they willing to go through to reestablish trust? How far are they willing to go? I mean, even if it's a one-time incident, how far is that individual willing to go to say, you can trust me as you did before? Because the one thing we know, and we can identify this from childhood, as adolescents, we want to trust. We want to believe in something better, you know. But as an adult, we don't bounce back as easy. And as an adult, you know, the first thing that happens is what's natural. You know, you go into self-preservation mode, and all you want to do is get to a point where you're no longer getting hurt. So you don't want to put yourself out there. So in rebuilding trust, you got to get right back to the point with this person where they would just in no way conceive of you doing whatever it is you did, cheated, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, and hopefully it's not, like James said, it's varying levels to it. You cheating with brothers, friends, and all kind of stuff like that, that makes matters worse. I mean, certain things I don't think people can come back from, certain ones they can, but it's difficult to say the least. It's really difficult.
Okay, so let me address this, and because we know that they're different, they're different betrayals that can break the trust in the relationship. But before we get off of cheating, I want to throw this question at both of you, and I want you to answer, you first, James, and then you, Manuel. Is it harder, is it more difficult, or is it more rare for men to forgive their women for cheating versus how forgiving women may be in regards to forgiving their mate for cheating? And if that is the case, why?
I think from my personal experience of just dealing with friends and who've gone through a whole lot of different things, I will say that I'm going to say it's even, that it may be a myth that men have a harder time forgiving than women. But I will say one of the reasons men have it's more difficult for men to continue, because part of the process of being a man is like, it may sound bad, but there's a possessiveness factor that you have to take into account. Like, this is my woman, and part of who I am, it, almost kind of like with jobs, with your woman, part of who you are is based on the things that you've accumulated. And one of those things is your woman, and to have her step out on you is a blow to your ego, to your manhood, and that really becomes a difficult thing to take because it's so personal. I think whereas women, I think because they are relationship-based, they can broadly look at the relationship as a whole and not so much it be about them, especially if there are kids involved. If there are kids involved, it's one of those things where they start to look at the whole picture, and they want to bring, you know, all the elements back together to maintain this family. Whereas men, it's like, you took something away from me personally. It's like, you know, you personally took something from me. And I think that's where it becomes difficult for men to forgive, make it more difficult for them to forgive. So I've seen a lot of brothers go through it, and they've maintained those relationships, but it does stem to what's at stake. You know, your wife and kids walking away from family and houses and everything like that, when there's a lot at stake, it's a lot harder to just walk away. And so when there's nothing at stake, you get me at 22, 23 years old where I have my own place and, you know, there's nothing else involved, I can walk away. You know, you start to put kids, houses, this longevity of building this family together and say, okay, on this incident, I'm getting ready to walk away. That's a little more difficult to do. Even for a man, I think it's difficult to do because you realize there's so much more at stake.
So you feel, hold on one second, Manuel. So you feel like it's the possessiveness that men have, or, you know, in general, that causes them to be a little bit, well, I think all the men that I've ever spoken to have definitely said they would not forgive their woman for cheating. So it goes into that primal thing of, oh, this is she my woman. that my vagina. I mean, what is that? Is that basically what you're saying?
There is. I mean, I don't want to sound crass or anything like that, but if you've ever been in a situation where it's like, hey, there's three of us, there's one chick, she's ready to do all of us, well, I got to go first. Okay?
Oh.
So it's like, because going second is...
Oh, my.
Oh, man. So it's like, am
oh,
I really
no.
going to the dude? It's like, no, I don't want to do that. I can't go behind no other dude like that. I mean, you can't go out there and take my goods and sprinkle them around the neighborhood. I can't do that. That's hard to get. It's personal. It's personal.
Right. That's like you guys' little home, your little. But anyway, okay. So Manuel, same question. Is it harder for men to forgive women for cheating, and why?
I'm going to take it another angle. Let's take it from a physiological standpoint, right? We know what tools we have. You know, woman has the womb, we have the, you know, we have the sword, whatever the case may be, right? And when you think about that, that's a level of submission. No matter how you want to spin it, that woman has to submit to that man. So just in a state of mind where when a woman thinks about it, you know, women are told and they're kind of raised to believe, oh, well, man is just being a man. You know, they're just going to run around sticking anything they can. You know, that's just kind of the frame of mind. Whereas a man, the woman is supposed to be more wholesome. She is supposed to value herself at a higher standard than men. So I think that has a lot to do with it because mentally, when we think about it, you had to allow. The woman had to allow it. You know, men, we just going to do what we do. So, I mean, and it's kind of twisted and contradictory in and of itself because it almost sounds like it absolves us of responsibility, and it doesn't, but that's just the mind state of a man when it comes to it. Like, I mean, just think about the different levels of it. I mean, imagine a man, and James could probably attest to this. If a man finds out a woman cheats, more than likely we want to know, what did y'all do? If a woman finds out that a man cheated, how did you feel? Is she important to you? Does she mean something to you, X, Y, Z? A man, we don't give a damn how you felt. What did you allow him to do? Was you giving head? Did anal take place? Where were y'all at? Was y'all at, you know, it does because and this is how human beings operate anyway. We're all subjective to our own desires and what we imagine. So the first thing that's coming into my mind, we're imagining everything that we would do is what you and him did. Just as women imagine everything he felt for me, what if he feels that way for her? Until it's somehow confirmed that it's other than that. So I think that women kind of take it's easier as long as there's no emotional attachment on behalf of the man. Whereas a man, we don't give a damn if it's emotional attachment or not. You stepped out, and it's such a heavy blow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like James said,
you know what? Being the only woman on the call, I can say that there is some validity to some of that you said. You know, typically or women have evolved and changed so much. So I can only speak from my perspective and what, you know, different women have told me. You know, when a woman gives her body and gives herself to a man on that level, it definitely is a heart and soul connection. So to imagine that her man is, you know, being intimate physically with another woman, she immediately is going to feel that betrayal in her heart. You know, it's like he could be lousy in bed, you know, but if she's in love with him and she's given him her heart, it's definitely going to be an issue, like you said, with, you know, do you love her? You know, do you have these strong feelings for her versus men who are just going to, I think, automatically wonder, oh, well, how bad did he tear it up? And
basically.
Right. Yeah, and I think Manuel said it perfectly because I think one of the things is that men, we can fall into, you know, again, you have to submit to a man, whereas men, you can fall into sex sometimes just by accident. And it's crazy It does. You guys are going to boo me a whole lot because of what I'm getting ready to say. I'm telling you, I have
did
been...
Wait. Did you just say fall in to sex? So your penis falls in, just randomly will fall into a vagina. Is that what
I'm
you're
telling
saying?
You, I was in the grocery store walking down the cereal aisle, and the next thing you know, I was having sex. Had no idea how it happened. Okay? I'm just saying, it happens. Okay?
Let me tell you exactly. But wait, for example, you can literally, the average woman, let's just say y'all at a nightclub, at a lounge, and y'all kicking it with a dude and dancing and whatnot. The average woman is not going to get nailed in the bathroom. However, if that woman that is willing to do it can go to any man in the club, more than likely he's going to be down for it, because that's how easy for it is, like what James just said, for us to fall into it. So there's some validity to what he's saying. A woman is going to consider some things first, like, wait, what? Nah, I'm not going out like that. A man is like, shh, this is easy right here. I can knock this off real quick, wash off, go home, no harm, no foul, I'm good. So it's true, man. There's a certain level of submission and thought process that a woman has to go through, and us as men, we know that y'all go through that process, which makes it that much more difficult for us to accept.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I may say it, I say things in a way that, really for the shock value of radio, but when you think about what I say and analyze it, because Manuel, he got it right away, he understood exactly what I was saying, is that you can... I have been in places, now I'm ex-military, and Miguel, San Diego, I lived there for several years. So, and you know how it is mm-hmm. you can go anywhere, and before you know it, you're in the backseat of somewhere, you're off at Mission Beach somewhere, and you're having sex, and you haven't even figured out this girl's name yet.
Oh,
and it's like,
goodness.
Wow, I didn't even know that was going to happen. And I still have time to get to the club. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's, I'm telling you, San Diego was something different. But the thing is that's how men can do that. So I think because we can, and because it's we don't put no thought into it. It's like, I mean, there are no emotions. There's no attachment. It's like, who was the girl? I don't even remember her face. Okay. have no idea who the girl was. Didn't even bother to call, get a number or anything like that. So
that's how detached we can be
because
right,
it's not so much you physically or emotionally. It's just the act. It's just like, it's like an act. It was like,
So let me cut you off for a second. Hold on. So, because you said a lot, that's very interesting. And I'm sure that there, have some people messaging and saying, of course men, have emotion attached to it, so all men are not. And I know that's not what you guys are saying, but, there's generalizations that you can make about genders based on what happens a lot at a high percentage. But, okay, so should it be that women, should become more understanding? And mind you, I'm simply playing the devil's advocate. I'm not saying this is what I believe. Because, but should women be more accepting when their men step out and fall into vaginas? Because we should just understand that this is just a part of the makeup of the male.
Let's get some phrasing right. You don't fall into it, you trip into it. All right. So,
fall, trip, do a backwards flip, but you're falling into someone else's vagina. So should the women be more accepting of this?
No, because here's the thing. If we're talking about circumstances. If you're talking about your husband, your long-term a long-term relationship that you have invested some time into and a lot of emotions, I think you have every right to expect a higher standard of how they carry themselves and what they act on, because who we are as men or women do not change, and what we're attracted to does not change. Is that, but once you're in a relationship, you should have some understanding of there's a higher standard for you. So you can't go out there. Sure, a married man, I've seen married guys, and, you know, my friends, we're all in our 40s. You know, every blue moon we'll go to a strip club, but the expectations are that we go have a couple of drinks, you go home. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what you're supposed to do. And I have been in situations with just men I know who were kind of out there doing certain things, and we've had interventions where we've sat guys down and said, look, you're a married man. You have a good wife at home. You have children. Stop it. Because it's mm-hmm. uncomfortable for us to go to your house and knowing what you're doing and seeing, you know, being around your family the way it is, it's like you need to stop that. So
okay.
It really depends. You know, if you're new and it's like, hey, you're dating so-and-so and I just met the girl, you've only been dating a couple of weeks, and I know you're dating someone else, that's fine, whatever. But once you start investing time and emotions into it, my expectations is that you're going to raise your standard. And I think a woman has every right to expect that her man's penis doesn't end up on Maury Povich, you know. So I think the expectations, yes, a woman should expect that.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well.
Not lower those. I would not. You would do not lower your standards whatsoever.
Wait. Hold on. I would say this. I agree for the 99% that's women's expectation. For the 99% of the population, that should be your expectation. But if you're a woman and you so happen to find yourself married to or in a long-term relationship with a 1%er, and we know what a 1%er is, your actors, athletes, rock stars, rap stars, your millionaires, billionaires, people that have access beyond the average man's access, get over it because he's getting it in. I mean, it just is what it is. There's no question about it, because just being an average Jew, just being a regular man, there's enough temptation out there. I'm sorry, but if you're a married woman and you in any way, shape, or form expect to be married to a Tiger Woods and he's going to be faithful, you're out of your mind. Just stop playing. Like, don't do it to yourself. Don't expect that. It's not going to happen. So for the 99%. Go ahead.
Finish that, what you were going to say.
That's my point. My point, I definitely agree with James, but then there's that 1%. On either side, that there's 1% of the women that have to expect that the man is doing what he's doing, and there's the 1% of the men that are going to do it. It's just the way it is, because they have so much exposure, so much power, control, cachet, whatever you want it to be. But yeah, they're going to do what they're going to do. You can't do nothing about that.
Okay, I can agree with a lot of that as well. Now, bringing it back full circle to what the topic is about, regaining trust, and is it possible? And we got into, you know, the different aspects of cheating. And I definitely think that if you get involved with a man or a woman who is living a certain lifestyle, I think it is a bit naive to believe that suddenly those, you know, those things are going to change just because you, we're together now. We're in a committed relationship. You have to know who you're with. And I think it's fair to say that women tend to be a little bit more forgiving when it comes to forgiving their men for tripping into various vaginas and are doing cartwheels in it or whatever they're doing. But it seems like I could say for women, a lot of times women will express the betrayals that, you know, those heart betrayals, those things that break their heart are the ones that are most difficult to forgive. What are some of the things that for a man? What are the, you know, aside from the sexual infidelities, what are some other things for men that you would feel is a great betrayal?
For me, and I can say personally, it's what you trust an individual with. Two things, finances, and for me it would be finances and probably emotional, a certain level of, you don't want a person to emotionally lie to you. You don't want to have your emotions manipulated. So, I mean, yeah, we all like an ego boost. That's fine. But you don't want to be told that, you know, a woman telling you or showing you falsely that she feels a certain kind of way when she really doesn't. That's an ultimate betrayal for me. And we know finances, if you're a provider and you guys share a house and, you know, it's your woman's responsibility to take care of certain things, but she decided to stop by the mall, she loaned her girlfriend some money, just that irresponsibility, it becomes something, because we know divorces end, you know, so many divorces end just basically because of financial struggles, and it's not always because they don't bring in enough money, it's sometimes due to financial irresponsibility. So that would be one thing, that because you have to trust somebody with your assets. If I can't trust you with my assets, I can't trust you enough to put your name on a bank account and not have to worry that I need to say, hey, babe, you know you only got $100 or $200 or you know we only got – no, that shouldn't be necessary. We should both be on one accord. And if I can't trust you in that, I mean, that's right along the same level of infidelity. I mean, it strikes a different chord, but it definitely damages the vitality of that relationship because you can't go far. You know, imagine if it's the man, and I mean, imagine if it's the man, and he's a gambler. He's a degenerate gambler, and every time the woman turns around, she's trying to do something with money for the light bill because he just gambled away some money. You know, so that's a big one for me: the finances and anything emotional. Don't play games with the emotions over my money. Just don't do that. Those two will be good.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, what about you, James? What are some of the other betrayals aside from infidelity?
Besides infidelity, I think Manuel probably hit the two next biggest is the finances, the emotional. I think one of the things is hiding who you really are is a true betrayal, because if I'm investing into you, then my expectations are that what you have shown me was there. And if you've gotten to the point where we're in a real relationship and I find out that who you are, who you said you are, is not who you really are, I think that can be a serious situation. So it could be one of those things where, you know, you give a person, and I don't think there's anything wrong with having, let's say, anxiety attacks or something like that. But if you're prone to anxiety attacks and something happens and one day you just freak out and have an anxiety attack and I don't recognize what it is, that's going to freak me out. And it's like, I want to know those type of things about you. You know, I want to know that you have serious issues, any phobias and things like that. You know, those are the type of things that you want to know about, is that because, you know, they can come up in situations where, you know, you're expecting the person to respond one way and they respond something totally shocking and out of the ordinary to you, and that can be a problem. So I think who you are would be the next one on that list.
I think that's fair because you don't want to I was going to make a joke, but I won't. But yes, that is fair. And it's interesting to hear the male perspective on what you guys feel are betrayals as far as, you know, the financial thing. That seems to be a big one. You don't want someone just, you know, running through the money. So before we run out of time, I want to know, what are some of the ways that you can rebuild the trust? It seems that the consensus between the two of you is that it is possible. I think that you know, I will put my two cents in that I think certain betrayals, you probably just need to take that as that's your way of, you know, you need to go. That's a sign to leave out of the relationship, get to running. But certain things, when you've built a relationship and you've had more good times than bad times, I think it is worth trying to rebuild it. So how can you rebuild the trust? And I want to know from the perspective of you being the one who did the betraying and as well as you being the one who was betrayed. And you can go ahead and start, Manuel.
If you were the one that you did the betraying, you stepped out or you messed up, you have to be willing to totally just let go of whatever your hang-ups are and subject yourself to whatever that person needs you to. We know how, you know, even inside relationships, there's certain levels of privacy. We give each other the benefit of the doubt and that sort of thing. And that's okay when there's trust there. But once that trust has been breached, perhaps, you know, he shouldn't be out in the streets as much as he was. He should call and check in or maybe send that text message just to let her know that I am where I am, I am doing what I'm doing. The cell phone is unlocked as opposed to having a lock, whereas it wasn't a big deal before, but now it's a big deal. All those little things that were just looked beyond, now you have to just be real. It's almost like when you go to jail, you know, when people go to jail, I guess when they first go in, there's strip searches, there's all this stuff, but once you've been an inmate for so long, well, you know, you're old head in jail, they start looking past you. They know you're not carrying stuff. They know you're not doing the things that the other people would do. But immediately up front, there is no trust. So you have to be willing to go all the way back down to negative zero, basically. You have to go negative 10, because when people first join together, they meet up, they automatically give each other the benefit of the doubt. But once that trust is broken, you have to go beyond that. There is no benefit of the doubt anymore. So you have to do whatever that person wants you or would need you to do. Ask them, what is it that you need me to do to show you that I can be trusted? And I'm pretty sure people, they might come up with some ridiculous standards, but it may be necessary. If it was me, you know, somebody stepped out on me, those might be some things that I require. I might require those things. I might require you to, you know, my significant other to step into a place where, you know, I have more access. Not that I'm going to be checking, because you don't want to check, but you just want to know that the access is there. Because at the end of the day, you do want to trust them, but at the same time, you don't want to get hurt. So for me, I would want to know, hey, this person that you were seeing, it's a wrap. Prove to me that you guys are no longer seeing each other. Prove to me that there is no link, there is no communication, nothing. All that's a wrap. I need to see that for myself. Yeah, you can tell me that it's done and it's a wrap, but no, I need you to show me. Show me that it's a wrap. Prove it. And then it's going to take time. You know, it may be a couple of months, and I want to say, so when's the last time you heard from such and such? And, you know, he, whomever has to be willing to subject himself to that scrutiny. You just have to. If it's worth it to you, you have to be willing to do that.
And you know what? I like, and hold on 1 second, James, and you can close that out. But I like, Manuel, when you said, you know, you wanted, I'm going to say it the way that I interpret it. You want them to be open and, you know, as far as the phone, not having the phone on lock and, you know, being accessible, not necessarily because you're going to do the checking, but you want them to make those changes. And I think, I don't believe that, you know, being able to check someone's phone and emails and so forth really serves that big of a purpose, because trust is something that happens within. It's a connection that you have with the person. And people, we know the best cheaters can have everything opened and do all of the stuff the right way because they know you're creeping around. So it really is about that connection. Like you said, it's not so much that you're going to do it, but just that they're willing to make those changes to make you feel more comfortable in the situation. I like that, so I just wanted to to add my own little spin on that, but just for the women and the men out there, I don't think that you need to go around, you know, I don't want you in my phone. I'm not going to be in your phone. If I don't trust you in my heart, then that's enough. You know, I can follow you all day and do all those things, and it still won't mean that you're being faithful to me. So good point, Manuel. Thank you. Same question, James.
Okay. So I think Manuel hit it out of the park when he spoke about the prison, how it is in prison when you first get there. You have to, essentially, if you're the person who had the affair, yes, you have to subject yourself to that level of scrutiny if you want the relationship to proceed. Now, if you have, but the other thing that you have to do, you have to take an honest assessment of your desire to have that relationship. I think you owe it to the person, if you cheated on them, if you're not 100% committed to recommit yourself, you have to leave. You owe it to that person to basically hurt them all the way now, rather than basically do it, you know, partially and along the way, and really just subject that person to a level of hurt that really isn't fair. So there's that point. So if you're willing to stay, then you have to subject yourself, because you have to ask that person, what can I do to make this better? And you have to be prepared to go through that and for a period of time as well. Now, if you're the person who was cheated on, the thing where you have to do is ask yourself the same thing. Do I want to continue this? If you do, you have to give that person clear understanding of what it's going to take. And you may have to sit back and think about it for a while before you actually give them, put demands on them. But you have to give them an opportunity to earn it back. If you don't give them opportunity to earn your trust back, basically you're being as destructive in the forgiveness part of the relationship as they were in the infidelity. So you have to really just, it's one of those things where you have to think about things like this. You have to really be honest with yourself. And time is one of those things that when they say time heals all wounds, that's a lie. Time means nothing. It's what you do with the time that you're given that's going to matter. You know, I can go a year and say, okay, in a year I'll be over this. Well, if I spend a year checking the guy's Facebook that you had an affair with every single day, I'm not doing myself any good. Okay, I've done nothing with that year except basically torture myself. So that's point I would say is that you have to make a fair assessment. You have to give that person an opportunity to earn your trust back, and that person has to be willing to subject themselves to that level of scrutiny, as Manuel pointed out.
I like that. You guys, that was nice. I should have given you guys an applause for that. but no, that makes perfect sense. And I think that I would say, in order, if it is possible to regain trust when you've been betrayed or you've done the betraying, both people have to be willing to start fresh. It has to be a desire within both of them to start over. Just because you got betrayed doesn't mean that you now become this sort of emotional dictator to the other person. It doesn't mean that you now have this right to put unreasonable demands on them. There has to be a level and a place where you come and you meet together and you decide that we're going to start again. I'm not going to throw it in your face every time I get upset about what you did, and you're going to be accountable for what you did. So as the betrayer, you have to, of course, be accountable and admit what you've done and be sorrowful and lament over your actions. But as the person that was on the receiving end, if you decide to stay with that person, you have to forgive them and you have to let it go. You have to, because the relationship will only become imbalanced, and it won't be the type of relationship that anybody should strive to be in. So it has to be forgiving that person and saying, okay, we're going to start over. We're going to start anew. I'm not going to keep on, you know, taking you through hell every time I think about it. You know, we're going to work through this in a healthy way. So that's just my two cents on it. I think it is possible, but it takes a lot of work and a lot of maturity and a lot of love and a lot of communication on both sides of that.
Yes, it does. You know, the test is always that if a person screams out at you, what more do you want me to do? You know at that point you have probably gone too far. You know, that's your threshold, because when a person is working, and it feels like, you know, nothing's happening. I do this, you throw it in my face, then I do it again, and you throw it in my face, and I keep going, and I keep going, and you throw it in my face. Eventually, the resentment builds up and saying, I get that I hurt you, but damn, you know, it's like, come on now.
You're going to take my outburst every time. If I see you look at another woman, it's going to be another outburst. Because you're the one that was tripping in vaginas and doing cartwheels.
You know what?
So.
You should have kept that penis in
your pants.
It's like this. If I'm on the end of that and it's just like, well, you know what? But damn it, you know, it's like I went out there, I put, you know, stick them on the sidewalk so I don't trip. I took all the gate down so I don't trip over that. There's nothing to trip over to. I cannot trip into any coochie at all. It's a no-trip zone. Leave me alone. You know, what more can I do? It's like,
All that woman is thinking about, you know, is did you like it better? You know, what was she doing tricks that I don't do? And I know some women will not want to agree with this, but it's true. Women have a lot of insecurities. Just women in general. It doesn't matter what they look like, how beautiful,
yes,
whatever. Women have a lot of insecurities, and they want to know that they are the most beautiful and prized possession of their man. So when you step out, you are hitting her so deep on so many levels of insecurity, you know, and she's wondering, you know, was her skin softer? You know, what did she do? You know, they're thinking those things. So that's not just something that's exclusive to men. You know, women are, they're thinking, you know, how did, you know, was it better? You know, what's up, baby? Tell me.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna say this. I think one of the things that at being in my 40s, what I realized is that it's far easier to find yourself emotionally wandering than you expect. And so, you know, you have to kind of guard against that, because it becomes real easy, especially if you get yourself in the mindset where you're in a relationship and, again, it ebbs and flows. And you're in one of those periods where, hey, you know what, there's a lull here that I'm not happy with. I'm not sure what I want. At that particular moment, is real easy to emotionally find yourself in a very compromising situation. And I don't even pretend that that's not the case anymore. You know, some people go into relationships and say, if you love me, then that could never happen. It's like, not true.
That's bananas.
Yeah, it can happen. And it's one of those things that you have to figure out when you're in it. You have to figure a way, how do I pull myself out of this? Because where it's going is not good, and it won't end well. No matter how I think about it, it won't end well. So I think people just have to realize is that as humans, I mean, these are things that are possible for us to get find ourselves in, and you have to work yourself out of it.
I agree with what he said. I mean, like he said, with those ebbs and flows, when you find yourself in that compromised state, for men, and I know way too many guys, I've had this conversation with more than a few friends. Men, we don't want to bitch. We don't want to be the one to say there's a problem all the time, you know. So when a man comes to his woman and says, you know, hey, babe, this is where things are falling off. I'm not too happy in this area. If we come to you and say that, we've thought about it long enough, and it's been an issue long enough for it to be addressed when we speak on it. And sometimes our ego can get in the way of us communicating, you know, because like I said, at the end of the day, we don't want to be complaining. We don't want to be viewed as a complaining, as a crybaby, as a bother or anything like that. But men have to be willing to say, hey, this is a problem right here. We need to fix this before I get into that compromised state where I'm looking outside of the home. And women also run into those same issues where, you know, I'm not satisfied here or there. How do I take it to my man without hurting his feelings? How do I take it to him without it being destructive to his ego? But you have to. You have to be willing to say, hey, there's a problem. Because if you don't speak about a problem, then you can't solve a problem. I mean, and that's just not fair.
That's a great point that you made up, although I think women talk so much, we don't have a problem. We don't have a problem saying, you know, going down the long list. But that's the beauty of men and the beauty of women. We're supposed to balance each other out. And I think, like you said, you guys just don't even want to put the mental and emotional energy into trying to have conversations with women a lot of times. Because you know that we're going to talk about it until the wheels fall off. And so you internalize a lot of things, and I think women want to know, like, what am I doing wrong, baby? You know, how, you know, are you satisfied? And you just want to, you know, just leave you alone. But when, like you said, if you're not communicating that and the other person doesn't know what they're doing wrong or doesn't know what the issue is and you're not giving them a chance to fix it, that's a deep, deep, deep issue. And it's unfair, you know, it's unfair to her. It's unfair to him if you are having all of these complaints going on in your head, but you won't go to them and say, you know what, you know, when you do that to me, I don't like it, so now I don't even want to be bothered by you or whatever the case is. So, you know, communication is big. And, you know, we both can learn, you know, men and women can learn from each other on that.
Is this an hour-long show, or how long do we have?
We're about to close, but see, I wanted to throw a loop to you guys because we only have like a couple of more minutes. Have either of you ever been in the position of being the betrayer?
Yes.
let me be honest. I've been on every side.
No.
I've been the side guy. I've been the violator. I've been the violated. I mean, I've been on every end of it. And
wait. You said you've been violated, Manuel?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been the one that's been cheated on. That's what I mean. I've been the one that's been cheated on. I've cheated.
Oh no.
And I've been the one that they were cheating with. So I've seen every side of it, and the one thing that you can honestly say is that it's never a good result at the end. Like, it doesn't matter how you spin it, it can go bad anyway, and it's just not worth it. It's just really not worth it.
Yeah, I know. It's like I've been the betrayer, I've been the betrayee, I've been the toy boy, and honestly, situation.
James, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Is it wrong that I thought that was cute? You said the toy boy?
I've been the one to call up and say, hey, can I come over for just a few minutes? And it's like, sure, bring some Fruity Pebbles. I mean, and then, you know, we can do this.
Wow. That's kind of... of the toy boy. Okay. Did you
I'm telling you, with this one, it was just as long as you bring a box of cereal with you. everything is fine. It was, but again, that was a different lifetime ago. So,
but you know what? And I'll be honest about something. Again, being the side guy, being the guy that's messed with a woman that's in a relationship or a married woman, it will mess with your psyche.
Because
what happens is moving forward, when you're in a relationship, one thing you're wondering about is karma, and two, you know too much. It's like the veil has been lifted, and you start to realize that things can be done that you didn't realize could be done. I mean, and this is no joke, real life experience. From the time that a woman would call and say, "I'll be pulling up in 5 minutes," we'd be done in 20, and she'd be back going to pick up the kids, going to the grocery store, running. 20 minutes is all it took. So that is forever in my mind from now until I die, that all it takes is a 20-minute stop for your woman to get it in.
Yep.
That's damaging.
I'm telling you, I have one. I used to live by my apartment building was by the bus stop that everyone would go to take the bus downtown. I had a girl. She would leave the house in the morning, going to work, come by my house again. Yeah, 15, 20 minutes. She'd freshen up, and boom, we. Right down there on the bus.
Ew.
Going to work. I'm telling you. It would happen. No, she was fresh. And, I mean, you know, she'd shower and stuff. But I'm just saying, it was like you leave the house going to work, and you get to work on time.
Yeah.
You take the express bus instead of your regular bus. And it's like, that's how fast it could happen. That was when I was a toy boy. And it was fine with me because it was like, oh,
it's convenient. It's convenient to you as a man. No attachments, real quick, wham, bam, she going about her way. She's not going to bother you. She's not going to come hunting you down. And
no.
It's cool, but when you get older, you realize, well, damn.
Well, it's like, wow.
This man got it in that quick. Yeah, that's bad.
I know.
Well,
I'm married now, so stuff like that doesn't even come in my mind. So I don't even think about stuff like that. But when I was younger, oh, absolutely. I mean, who knows? My wife could be doing any damn thing. I don't know. But it's one of those things where I just have no. That's not something that creeps into my head at all, whatsoever. So, but. No, in my younger days, it was bad.
We're gonna have to hear some of you guys' your sordid stories, because I know both of you have been so bad in your your past.
Oh yeah, Thailand. I got stories from Thailand. Okay.
Well, I wanna. I don't know. For some reason, I really like the toy boy. That phrase has me laughing. But on behalf of the you know, all the women out there, we're sorry that you guys were used as toy boys, though. I mean, that has to be pretty traumatic.
No, it's fine. Sometimes you have to do what you have to do. You have to take for the team. I mean, I mean, you can't imagine how many horrid, ugly chicks I have done. Just because.
Oh!
Is what I was thinking.
Oh.
I mean, Jeff, you got to boo
me. Oh, no. I ain't co-signing that.
I'm the only one who's ever done anything just for the credit.
No, okay.
That's a whole other show. That is a whole.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's another show. That is another show for real.
Oh, man. Like, come on now. Am I the only one who's ever just like, you're out with your boys? It's like, hey, I'm trying to holler at her. You got to do her. And you're looking at her. It's like, she looks like the Great Pumpkin. But I'll do it anyway.
Oh, Oh, my
That's
goodness.
Terrible.
That is awful. Okay. All right, listen. Wait, I want to thank both of you guys because you are hilarious. And I also want to thank everybody that tuned in. We will be coming back on next Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We will definitely be posting the topics that we're going to be discussing on the Urban Conversation Radio page. And you can, again, locate us on Facebook. Make sure you do that and add us as well as adding us on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Legale Marie, and Manuel Hill and James Manning say bye.
All right. Disha, you guys have a good one.
Have a good night.
We'll see you guys next Sunday. Thanks for listening. Bye.